Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Heart to Heart. I almost said Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. But this is the Heart to Heart broadcast. And I thank God for it. I thank the Lord that He's mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. You know, I caught myself a few times. Sometimes I start the radio broadcast off Heart to Heart. I did that a few times. But the Word of God is good, and I thank God for it. And the Holy Spirit, He guides us into all truth. I thank God for the things He helped me see and understand this morning as I woke up. And I love His Word all the time as He give me clarity. The Holy Spirit helps us connect the dots. That's one of the things I love the most, when He helped me see things I don't see in the Word. That means I can help Him help others better. It's all about how we yield to God. See, He's helping us win souls. And that's important to not only God, but to us. We want to see our loved ones in heaven. And we want to see other people's loved ones in heaven. We want to see everybody in heaven. Because the church say, come, I'm part of the church. The church, we get it from Jesus. We received the love of God from Jesus, and we want to share it. That's how the love of God is. And the Holy Spirit enables us. The more we learn His Word in truth, the more capable we are of being used by the Holy Ghost. And also, the more we'll yield to Him, the more we understand. The more you understand about the Word of God, the more you will contend for the faith. But if everything is drab, then you don't care as much. But when the Lord opened your eyes and you see how easy everything really is in Christ and how complicated everything is in the world, it's just full of illusion. It looks easy, but it's deadly. And it's going to cost you everything. Satan, he never gave nobody nothing since he was Satan. I don't know what he did while he was Lucifer. I'm sure he did fine till sin was found in him. But after he was Satan, he thinks he needs to be served. But he manipulates people any which way he can so that they'll give their resources to his cause. And anybody that gets in sin, that's what they end up doing. Remember something. Cora Ten Boom was taught by the Lord to forgive the German soldiers. Men, women, boys, girls can be deceived and think they're right. Even German soldiers. And looking back in history, see, we look at them as a bunch of devils. But they were people just like me and you, under the influence of Satan's deception. And some people realized it even then. And though they were German soldiers, they worked to help people. And they didn't agree with everything that Hitler was doing. They knew it was wrong, but by fear, they were afraid to say anything. But then there were men like Schindler. He helped rescue a lot of Jews. He knew that was evil, what Hitler was doing, and he did something about it with his position. See, Satan don't have full control over his army. The control that he has over them is the sin that's in their life, the fear, the doubt, the sin, the prestige, the pride. Now, the proud soldiers were the most willing to do his work. But in a society, remember, all people are made in God's image. Even Hitler was made in God's image. But he got into his witchcraft, or whatever he got into, which is witchcraft, that's all it is. And he sought darkness. I got a book by Steve Quayle, and it went in depth. He had hatred, so Satan used that against him. He hated Jews right down Satan's alley. So when even Hitler wouldn't fully, I'm sure that was something Satan wanted Hitler to do that he wouldn't do. Because we are made in God's image. And at one time, Hitler wanted to be a Catholic priest. You know, you can't make this stuff up. This is men and under the influence of Satan. It's a wild thing. But nevertheless, people with sin in their life, they give way to Satan, and they're not perfect at it. They don't do everything Satan wished they'd do. They don't have his complete hatred. They like something he likes, so he has to manipulate them with whatever they like about the world. A proud man is the worst. A lustful man will betray God because of his lust. A greedy man will betray God because of his greed. People that don't want to work, lazy people, they're easy prey for Satan. Satan got a lot of wiggle room with lazy people. And now lukewarm people, the Lord is helping me to define what a lukewarm person really is. And last week he told me point blank, he said, the lukewarm people are tares. I had to just sit down and think about it. And, you know, remember, Jesus said they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They have no covenant. That's why it says naked. They don't have on the garments of the priestly garment or the king's garment, because they're naked. They're stripped. They're wretched. They have no covenant. They're without Christ. See, among the Christians, you know, there were always tares among the wheat. Some, you know, John said they left us to prove that they were not of us. And the Lord told me something interesting this morning. And I feel like it's okay by the Holy Ghost that I share this. He said, The lukewarm church sold into the tribulation. They sold into it by their rebellion against God, and they knew better. The difference between a lukewarm person and those that Jesus said, I never knew you, they once had a relationship, but they left the light and went back to darkness. When I asked for, you know what I'm about to say, when I asked for a representation, I wanted a visual picture of what a lukewarm person was like, and the Lord gave me King Saul, which was a prime example of a lukewarm Christian. And then I wondered about those, he said, I never knew you. I said, what are they like? And then he gave me Doeg. And Doeg was a proselyte, or he was around, he was in Saul's ranks. Not Paul, in King Saul's ranks. He was an Edomite, but when Saul told his army soldiers under his command to kill the 80 priests, they wouldn't do it. But Doeg didn't care. He didn't flinch. See, there are some, they never had a relationship with the Lord. They never really got saved in the first place. And they don't care nothing about the, you know, doing evil. But lukewarm people, now, King Saul had a relationship with God. He knew better than this. He had an anointing. And he told his army to kill the priest, thinking they were in league with David. And it was clear that they were not. They didn't know David was part of his, they didn't know that he had a problem with David. And how would they know? I mean, really. When you're looking at land spread out like that, news don't get around as fast as it does today. So they had a viable point. And then the priest told him they didn't know it, but he still killed them. So that's just how, now I said that to say this, that is how deadly the lukewarm Christian is. If God would spit them out, something's bad wrong with them. A person that, we're not saved by works, and you know, some people, a diligent-minded Christian, they, in their mind, a person that's lazy about going to church, studying the Word of God, actively witnessing to people, they'll consider them lukewarm. But some people are shy. They want to help. They pay tithes. They do other stuff. They minister to people where they can. They do what they can. They just don't do. Some people are just don't. They just don't have an aggressive nature, and I'm one of them. I don't have an aggressive nature. But when the Lord want me to do something, I used to obey God because of the vow. You know, I would have looked lukewarm to some because I didn't talk much. But I was hungry for the word. Only God could know this. And I went to church every time the doors were open. I wanted to be there. On Friday nights, we'd go clean up the church. I mean, I wanted to serve God. I wanted to do something for the kingdom of God. So, in some ways, I was aggressive. But there were preachers, there were ministers there, and they were more aggressive than me. So, I thank God for all of them. Some, they were not afraid to sing before people. They were more comfortable speaking, conducting the pulpit, things like that. That wasn't my forte, you know. So what I'm saying is this: God loves us. And you know, another thing, you know, they would be able to conduct the pulpit, and if the service started before the pastor got there, they knew just what to do. I was too reserved to do that. So sometimes people can look like a picture of what it—that's a lukewarm Christian right there. That's just that, but that's not the profile of a lukewarm Christian. That's why I'm saying this. Some people will never get up in front. They're Christians, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, but they will not get in front of a crowd if they don't have to. That doesn't mean they're lukewarm. You know, some they just need a push. Well, when you follow God, whatever you lack, God will give it to you. We come to the Lord just like we are. And we grow from glory to glory. So a person, you know, if you look at their performance, you might think they're lukewarm, but that's not an accurate picture. The lukewarm Christian will betray you on purpose with full intent or partial intent. They will do you dirty. They will hold strife in their heart. They will break all the rules of Galatians 5 and say it's okay with God. You know, nowadays there are homosexual pastors. Pastors. It's disgusting. God is not mocked. See, I can't point them out. I can tell when people do something that's unscriptural. But the Holy Ghost, He knows. He has to deal with lukewarm people. But nevertheless, He told me this morning, He gave me another piece of the puzzle. He said the lukewarm Christians, they sowed into the tribulation period. And that's the second time He told me. I remember now He told me that a long time ago. But I just connected the dots. A lot of people have sowed into what's happening. And a lot of Christians never said anything or prayed against abortion in this country. Some people, you know, voted on that stuff and they knew it. Even I did. I voted for Bill Clinton before. But I asked the Lord, now this is why I voted for him. I said, Lord, who should I vote for? And He said, Bill Clinton's heart is better than when he was running against Daddy Bush. But my cousin said, well, he kills babies. Well, I knew this. But I knew what the Lord had told me about him. His heart was... Daddy Bush, you know, when you deal with politics, you make people frustrated. I understand this. But I'm going to be honest with you. When the Lord told me this, I didn't know much about either one of these guys. That's why I prayed that way. And then once God gave me information, I had to deal with it. It's not that He told me to vote for him. It's just that I could have voted for neither one of them, but I wanted to vote for the best one. That's why I did it. I didn't agree with him with his abortion policies. But I didn't agree with George Bush either. Talking about his 1,000 points of light, that was kind of witchy to me. You know, it was something wrong with that. And I didn't even understand his speeches. Come to find out that he was the CIA, you know, he was, when the Contras happened, bringing drugs into the country, he was in a position to stop that. And come to find out, I believe he was involved in it. That's just my opinion. Clinton didn't, he did a lot of stuff, but he didn't do that, that I know of anyway. I saw the damage that drugs have done to our country. And so, you know, over time, the truth will come out. They made a movie about it. Tom Cruise was in it, Made in America. I didn't watch the movie completely. I saw the documentary of it, though. But I did see the History Channel's version of what happened. I said, my goodness, that's bad. Now, these people, you know, we don't expect, the average American don't expect their leadership to be traitors against people. We don't, you know, not in the 20th century. But what that, you know, bringing drugs to in this country, crack cocaine of all things, that's treacherous. I don't care who it is. And I loved all the presidents. I didn't look at them in a derogatory way. But when I asked the Lord who to vote for, he knows them personally. I don't. I have to go by their speeches. And I go by what they say more than the media. Now, that's just how I do it. You have to go before the Lord. So I'm not pointing the finger at people why they did what they did, but I don't like the fact that I voted for somebody that kills babies. I'll never do it again. If I have to, I just won't vote. But you know, I thank God that Jesus gives us repentance. But and it's a gray area. You want to vote for the one that's better, you know. But and that, you know, there's no condemnation when you go to the Lord about things in prayer. You have to deal with what you know, I don't like the way that I voted sometimes. But nevertheless, you know, the Lord will forgive you. You go on. You go forward. But the problem is this. I've heard a lot of Christians, it don't even flinch to bother them about abortion. Some people say they're Christians and they think it's okay. As long as that person's a Democrat or as long as that person's a Republican. In most cases, Republicans don't deal with abortions. But see, that's not the only thing. They do something. Now, we put people in power, but you don't really know what they'll do. And you have to have people in place. So, you know, what you have to do is go before the Lord in prayer and vote. It's very important to vote, but I don't intend to vote for another abortion candidate ever. Now, I don't want to be part of it more than I already have been. I don't like it. But I will say this, when Clinton was in his second term, I think the House was Republican, and he had enough in the Senate. He had a Republican Senate and House, and they came up with a bill to stop partial birth abortion. All he had to do was let it be law, and they would have ended that. And he vetoed it. And I remember being so frustrated with him when he did that. I said, you know, that's too much sin for one man. He's going to have to give an account for all those murders that happened because he could have stopped it, and he didn't. It got down to him, and he didn't. And I, out of the abundance of my heart, I said, Hillary Clinton will never be president. And I said it in faith, and I meant it. And it looked like she was going to win in 2016. It really did. And she lost. She'll never be president. I believe that. She'll never, ever be president. Because that's too much sin for one man to do. Now, that's just a little aside. But I want to share something else. People look at sin like, you know, the modern Christian mind, especially the American mind, Americans can vote on whatever they want. If you don't like a president, you vote him out and you vote in who you like. If you really don't like him, you can talk about him publicly and nothing will happen. You can write blogs about him. You can say, just like people do legally. But that's illegal for people to hold that kind of strife against people in God's kingdom. God don't want us acting that way, even if they're wrong. God don't want people to hate people. Now, all the people I know, I don't hate them. I hate what they did. But as a person, I love them just like everybody else, just like Jesus loved me. But the American mind, you can say what you want about people. That's really not freedom. But it's legal. You can do it. Now, in all the kingdoms, if you said something about Napoleon, or if you said something about the kings of Great Britain, you died. You didn't do that. If you didn't like it, you suck it up. But here we have free speech, and you're innocent till you're proven guilty. So, with that, you have to remember something: we're also not just Americans. If you're a Christian, you're in the kingdom of God. And you have to do things according to what Christ said. You don't hate your brother and then smile in God's face. That's not going to happen. You don't do that. The way you love, John put it this way, the way you love others is the way you love God. That can never be separated. I don't care who the president is, how bad he is, how good he is. You can't do that. But in the American mind, sin is something that you vote on. Now, and then people have become so relaxed. Preachers are desperate for saints. God is not. He gave us salvation. He wants us to receive it. It's free. He freely gives us salvation. He freely gives us healing. You can get healing before you get saved. He loves us. He gives rain to the just and the unjust all the time, everywhere. He loves us all. He's liberal with his love. But that don't mean that you have a right to sin without consequence. And that's how people have presented God in this country and many others. So people take sin lightly. If you do sin, you can just go and ask the Lord to forgive you and everything's all right again. Well, guess what? If you have a weakness, you need to fix it. Full repentance is not just asking God to forgive. It's also turning away from it forever. Forever. Now, there were things I said, Lord, I felt like, I'm going to do this. When I learned to love, I said, Lord, I'm going to mess up. One day I'm going to get on a fight for real. Teach me how to love your people. That was repentance. Asking God to help me stand was repentance. I learned to do that. So, but the way things have been presented, so many people are just relaxed and sin. They don't care if they're married or not. They have sleepovers. They shack up. They do what they know they shouldn't do without remorse. Then they justify it. And then when it's time to vote in people that won't abort babies, they go vote for the other. And I'm not talking about sinners. I'm talking about Christians right now. There are so many Christians. If they will not vote, I know a lot of black Christians won't vote for a Republican. And so they think that they're right, even pastors. But see, lukewarmness through lukewarm behavior, it causes people to sow into the tribulation so many different ways. And if you try to talk to them, they justify whatever it is they're doing. They're right. So when the rapture happens, we're going to find out a lot of things. The post-rapture world, we're going to have a snapshot. The very first day, we're going to have a snapshot of reality. The people God take out of his way. Because see, the rapture is going to happen, I believe. It's the way that Pastor David Lankford taught it. And also Irvin. A lot of things that Pastor Lankford taught and Irvin Baxter taught, I think they had a lot of good points. So it helped me do research. And I've come to a better understanding of what the tribulation is all about and its purpose. And the Lord, I'm not moving you out of the way of the Antichrist. I'm not moving you out of his way. I'm moving you out of my way. See, when he gets ready to judge, that's when he's going to rapture his people. But the day after the post-rapture world, he's taking his people off earth. And what's left are not his people. They were half-hearted, the ones that said they were Christians, and they had sin in their life somewhere. They were lukewarm. They were treacherous. That's why God left them. As much as I love God, I pray. I said, Lord, please make sure I stay. I said this, Lord. I said, keep me clean in your eyes. I don't want to go off on a tangent and you have to leave me here. And I know he will work with me. If I do something wrong, I can still feel sense the Holy Spirit. He'll guide me. He'll warn me. And the fear of the Lord will come on me and I'll straighten up. If you sin, And there's no conviction from the Holy Spirit, you need to get saved. I say that boldly. If you can sin without remorse, you need to get saved. You need to get back in the love of God. Because it takes a level of hatred to act on sin by choice. Now, you have to get rid of that. We don't just learn God's word, we drive out evil too. Simultaneously, as we receive the word, we drive out lies, and the truth of God's word is not going to make everybody happy. Forget about making everybody happy. They're going to be happy if they want to be happy. They can receive the love of God just like we can, just like you can, just like I can. But you have to stick with what's right. Along the way, statistically, you're going to make some mistakes, just like I did. But God, he forgives and he works with us and we go forward. You can't dwell on the past, you go on the future. That's the beauty of salvation. That's what the fallen angels wish they could get back into. A lot of them don't even want to be devils no more, but they stuck. They have nowhere else to go, so they got to listen to the devil that they listen to walk out of the kingdom of God because they had a level of hatred like he did. They wish they could go back. See, people don't all, even angels don't know what sin is going to do to you. It's going to do something to you. It's going to change your behind around. It's going to do something to you. And you don't want, it's going to give you another mindset. Just like salvation gave us a new mindset. Well, when you go back to the world, you're going to have a new mindset, an old mindset, not a renewed mindset. And it happens slow. The enemy, people through deception, pride, any form of sin, people have meandered their way right back into the grips of the world again. And they've gotten into things that they are used to or they like, and it's a habit now. Sometimes it's just something as bad as strife. Then, you know, strife takes away your ability to even have a good time. You feel like you got to be mad at somebody. But see, the day, the post-rapture day, the first day after the rapture, that's a snapshot of reality. People are going to be left here because of their strife, because of their pride. They had Cain jealousy, Saul jealousy. Saul jealousy is worse than Cain jealousy because Saul, he could read about, I knew he read about Cain before. Being a king of Israel, you're going to know about what Cain did. And you know it's wrong and it's not something God can sanction. But he had jealousy against David. Now, modern day Christians, preachers being jealous of preachers, that's worse than Saul jealousy. Because they can look at Saul and see what happened to him. And if you read that story and learn nothing, you need to get saved. That's just the way it is. So the day after the rapture, people that's been hiding their sin, they're going to be known for it. And they know why. They know what they did. Everybody know what they're doing better than anybody else. So that people are sowing. If you sow the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. And lukewarm people will not only go through the tribulation, they're going to go through all of it. And God's going to send strong delusion against those who held the truth in unrighteousness, so to speak. Now, look at this verse. You know, this is 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10. It says, verse 8, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's what the devil, he's going to have lying wonders. That's going to amaze the worldly people. Verse 10 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And when I think about this, how harsh it is, and how bad how much I would really not want to be one of those people. I love the word might, because I want some kind of hope to be there for people that have fallen off the wagon. And God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned. I hope some people will cry out, humble themselves and cry out to God after all this. But I promise you this, if they don't do it now, they probably won't do it then. But then, you know, again, with man, men are made in God's image. Hopefully, I would love to see somebody that make it through this situation. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mighty move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ.